from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
A couple minutes after 5 o'clock, it's your favorite time of day.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. Go back on that Odyssey Rewind app, check out our 2 o'clock hour where we discussed whether it was World Series or failure for the New York Yankees. But in the process, I'm going to give you the 5 teams from most to least I want the Yankees to see in the playoffs.
From most. So the number one team, the number 5 team would be the team you're just licking your chops to play.
Licking my pork chops.
Go, let's go.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
The Minnesota Twins.
You got it. Call it a bye series for the Yankees as they see the Twinkies. Although, I have to admit, I made this list before the Twins claimed Michael Tonkin.
Yeah. Game changer.
Okay, here we go.
Number 4.
The Astros. The Astros of old are dead. Don't fear them.
Stop.
Sure, I'd rather not play them just not to hear Met fans for a week, but Yankee fans don't fear them anymore. Bring them on.
Listen, you don't have to necessarily fear them or say you don't want any part of them. And if you do, God bless you. Like I heard Keith say that the other day, I respect the hell out of him for it. Talk about being honest as a fan. He's like, I don't want to play that team. But to put them at the top of teams you prefer to play, because they're just so not that good, to me, is like you're lying to yourself.
I'm not lying to myself.
Or you have this weird philosophy that you need to play the Astros, and if you don't, the whole thing's invalidated.
I'm being honest on the teams, I guess I would fear slightly more.
There are other teams you've... Okay, go ahead. I want to hear the rest of it.
Number 3.
It's the Orioles. The lineup still scares me, but the pitching, and including the bullpen, just woofsy-daisy.
Okay, who the hell is 2-1 then?
Here we go.
Number 2.
The Royals are number 2.
The Royals scare you.
I have a feeling we could be looking at Bobby Witt becoming an October legend this year.
I mean, he could be.
He's the one player in the American League that I think could just thump the Yankee pitching and ruin a series.
I warn you that what I'm about to say, I know it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, but when the Yankees played the Royals in Kansas City earlier this year, the Royals looked like they didn't belong on the field with the Yankees. And then they stole the last game that Clay Holmes blew. So I'm surprised you have that much respect for the Kansas City Royals.
I do. It's more Bobby Witt.
And number 1 is going to be...
Number 1.
The Guardians.
I can't believe I flipped like this. It is the Guardians. And I'm going to say it. The Guardians have the closest thing we've seen since Mariano Rivera.
I mean, Emmanuel Clase is not Mariano Rivera.
I didn't say he is closest Mariano Rivera.
You know what the closest thing was to Mariano Rivera? Edwin Diaz 2 years ago.
All right.
That was the closest thing.
Fine. It's the American League, Evan, and all of these teams you could beat up in their bullpen. Having him close out games if they have a lead, I don't trust the Yankees coming back on a team.
Well,
like the
keep an eye on this. The Cleveland Guardians' lead in the American League Central is down to 1 game on the Kansas City Royals.
Doubleheader sweep yesterday by the
Incredible.
Royals.
Incredible. The Royals, who lost 100, didn't they lose 108 games last year?
Yeah.
They're trying to be historic in terms of going from 100 losses to winning, 90 games,
yeah,
which they have a chance to do?
Just in time for an entire city to only care about Patrick Mahomes.
They care about the Royals when they're good. I would differ with you on that. It is definitely a football town, but baseball is very regional. Like, when your local baseball team is playing well, teams are interested. By the way, I love to play this game if the season ended today. If the season ended today, the New York Yankees would have a first-round bye. They would face the winner of an Orioles-Royals American League wildcard series. That would be your first-round opponent in the divisional series, and then obviously you'd face the winner of, Twins, Guardians, Astros.
In theory, I want Baltimore to win that series.
You want the Orioles and the DS?
Yeah, over the Royals, yes.
Really?
Yeah. I know that sounds crazy. I'd punch myself in the face for saying that 2 months ago.
Honestly, the beauty of baseball is anybody can beat anybody. It's a cliche, but it's so true. There's nobody I'd be afraid of from the Yankees outside of the Astros. And the reason I'd still be afraid of the Astros is, A, Framber Valdez is a lefty, top of the rotation. Josh Hader is a closer lefty in their bullpen. The Yankees have had issues with lefties. Justin Verlander is still existing. He's back. He's healthy, even if he doesn't look like his same dominant self. And Jose Altuve walks through that door. Yeah. He scares all of you.
I don't fear that Astro team. I just don't. I'm not even trying to hide some. I just look at them. I laugh at the Astros now. You're cheating games are out of. Yankees are better.
Save the audio, Luke.
Oh, it's saved mentally and on the board.
Good. Yeah. Save it on the board, save it mentally, and we'll go back to that maybe second week of October.
Because you beat them in April. That's why you're not.
That's the lamest. That's the lamest reason.
Come on.
What do you mean? Is the lamest reason.
I saw this Yankee team.
Because you beat them in April.
And we didn't even have Jazz Chisholm Jr. yet.
Look, everybody counted the Astros out except for two people. Tommy Lugauer and me. We were firmly like side by side on that. We never counted them out because we know better. We know that you need to get past the final boss. That was Lugie's term. But we're going to use it together now.
This is where I feel very sad for the simpletons that are you and Tommy Lugauer.
What's that?
You see what's going on, and I've tried to be the power of positivity with the Mets. You see what's going on, and you've already now started to right your ship. You want so badly for the Astros to continue this dominance that you're talking yourself into believing something doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Astros of old are dead, and the Yankees basically treat them like a Stratix paper. Wipe up pores with them and throw it out.
No. The Houston Astros are in the American League Championship Series every year. In fact, to borrow a phrase from Joe Beningo, you can change the manager. You can change the general manager. Mm-hmm. You can change the rotation. You could change the lineup. And they still find their way in the ALCS. Now, did they blow it last year against Texas?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I admit that. But let's not act like they're an easy opponent. They're not. And I think it's great for America for the Yankees to play the Astros. Like, I think it'd be amazing.
It's terrible because it's a shorter series. I'll tell you right now. Astros play the Yankees in ALCS. It doesn't go more than five games.
Say that one too, please.
By the way, you might be right, but you're talking out of your tuchus now,
I'm
and
not.
You know it. Yes, you are, because you have nothing to
back this up. I'm just going to rattle off three sentences. Tommy DeVito should start week one.
I stand by that.
The Knicks are the uncrowned champions.
I stand by that as well.
And the Mets, 17 games back by the Diamondbacks, you'll still be saying, don't make vacation plans.
They're only three games out.
How dare you tell me I'm talking out of my tuchus?
You are talking about an Astro team that, let me just be fair here, owns you.
An organization that has owned them, not this year.
What has changed about that organization? No. As long as Altuve is still breathing? He is, by the way.
They can't beat the Juan Soto Yankees.
Time
and that's already been proven.
If it wasn't 5-13 and we weren't behind on breaks and I wasn't about to go on vacation, there would be a Lugas debate series going on right now and this big board would come out.
You didn't update the board.
And you update it?
Damn it. I need a pen.
And this debate series would have ended up much like a Yankee-Astro playoff series.
I got news for you.
Sweep.
We'll save this for a later date.
We're going to save it for a later date. Update the board. It's 2-0, Sean. Definitely couch this because as we get closer, this is perfect right before the postseason.
Yeah. I'm going to couch that. I lost my pen. Right. I need to find it. Let me get to a couple of your calls. Sean was talking earlier about this fantasy draft he's in, which I think is amazing. Lugie hates it. And it's a draft that takes a week. You know, basically, it goes through an app or a text message where you get 8 hours to make your pick. And I love it. I think it's perfect for 2024. Let's go to Anthony in Jacksonville, Florida. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Sean. Just wanted to two things real fast. We just finished that draft. We ended up not doing 8 hours, but we did 1 hour in between our picks, and we started from 4 to 10 o'clock. It was awesome. It was absolutely probably the best draft we've done. The person who was last, once the draft was paused, if they wanted to submit a pick in between, they could, but the person behind them wasn't penalized if they were sleeping or on the way. So picks were even coming in. You know, we all have those friends who like to wake up at 4 a.m. and go to the gym.
Yeah.
Like those person would put a pick in at whenever they were ready. And then we wake up and it would keep going if you wanted to.
I like it.
It was just the easiest draft.
That's good. I'm glad you had a good experience with it. An hour feels too short.
It does.
Because something like you're at the lunch, you're at a business meeting, you're working,
but
you're making love. Like, there's so many things that would never happen.
Yeah, I mean, geez, all you need is 30 seconds between picks.
Really that easy for you, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, to make fun of me like that? Or maybe you're making fun of yourself.
I would make fun of all men.
Either way, I would probably add the hours to it. I would say a 3-hour window.
But that would
be my thing.
But that's where your group matters, right? He only did between 4 and 10 in 1 hour. They can make that work. For a group like us, we can't figure it out. 8 hours, perfect.
Henry is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Henry?
Love hearing you guys on air. Thanks so much for having me back on. So fantasy, quick story, and then a serious question for you guys. So I've been doing fantasy, I guess, baseball since like literally 2001. I was a freshman in high school.
Right.
But when I came to fantasy football, the last year I did it, I had Brady and Moss and had a perfect season and lost last week of the season in the fantasy championship because the Giants beat up all over the past that week. The Pats still won and had the perfect regular season, but they didn't. Brady and Moss didn't connect like they did all season and broke all those records at the time. So that was a terrible way to lose. So you guys have FanDuel. I just heard you talking on the commercials. FanDuel's official partner, WFAN for fantasy.
Yes.
I love the daily fantasy lineups for basketball, for football, you do weekly lineups, new team, you build your roster around just who you like that week, and it's so much more current and energy. You guys should have like a radio thing. Do it for charity, do like, you know, have a contest to see who gets to participate with the, with you guys on Ed Talent. But like, I love the fan duels much more than the full season.
Yeah, like, you know, we were talking earlier about that, how not just gambling in terms of player props, mm-hmm. but the daily fantasy that you can play has changed people's view of the full year. I like to do both. Like, I like the daily fantasy. I completely agree with you, and maybe we can do some kind of contest here at the radio station. So I'm not opposed to that. But there's still something special about the year long. Like, there's still something, there's a bond to the year long. Like, that guy's on my team all year, and I want to answer his funny story, even though it's not that funny, with a non-funny story of my own. I had Tom Brady in 2007 as well. I did. Remember the perfect season? Yes, you guys know that.
Yeah.
And I dominated. Had a great regular season. In the semifinals, Tom Brady fell flat on his face. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because he ran into the New York Jets. And the Jet defense held Tom Brady to 140 yards passing. No touchdowns. I think it was the only game that year he did not do a touchdown pass and an interception. Now, Patriots won anyway. It was a relatively close game, 20-10. But it was Tom's worst fantasy week of the year by far, and I got eliminated. And I remember thinking, you know what? I would have liked the Jets to have won, but it's only fitting that my football team sent Tom Brady's fantasy team, mine, home that particular year.
Wow.
And it reminds you there's a tough pill to swallow when you're a diehard fan of a team and you're also playing fantasy. You make business decisions. Like, I didn't want Tom Brady on my fantasy team, but whatever that draft kind of dictated that year was the right move to make. And it was only fitting that my favorite football team sent me home.
How about that?
Yeah, nobody cares.
You know why? Because ultimately what we realize is nobody cares about anybody's fantasy.
No, I know.
That also be a reminder.
So true.
This weekend, when you're seeing people, Labor Day weekend, don't pull out your phone and show anybody your fantasy roster.
Yes.
Nobody cares.
Nobody actually cares.
Right.
You only care if you can relate to it. So if somebody out there, like our last caller, had Tom Brady in 2007, you probably remember that game.
Yeah.
Because that was the fantasy playoffs.
Also, that guy's league sucks if you're having the finals in the final week of the year.
Yeah, and that wasn't the case with me because the Jets were the third to last week, and it was the semis the following week, the second to last week, that was the championship week.
You know, the following week, the Patriots only won 10-6, is that true?
Yes. Was that the Raven game?
Titans.
Oh, the Titan game. Here's the thing about the Patriots, and this is why.
I'm sorry. It was the Jets 10-6.
No, it was 20-10, the Jet game.
I know. I was looking at the Patriots. I was looking at the Jets because I thought I was reading the Patriots.
You idiot.
Sorry. I am an idiot.
I remember the Raven game that they played, and you got to look this up. The Patriots were favored by like 25.5 points. That's not a misprint. I'm not misspeaking.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
They were favored by 3.5 touchdowns. And I was in Las Vegas that week. And I was like, man, I'm going to bet on the Patriots. Like, they're going to crush the Ravens. They were favored by everybody. And they won that game. It was a primetime game by a field goal. It was incredible. And so the reason I bring this up is, I'll never forget, it was my first year full-time here at the Fan doing the Shows with Joe. We're there for Super Bowl week. It's Giants-Patriots. And I was the one guy who thought the Giants were going to win. And I wasn't doing it because, oh, I'm the young guy trying to be different. Here was my reasoning. And it turned out to be prophetic. You could tell, long before their game against the Giants, going back to that Raven game, that they weren't the same.
They were beatable.
Yeah. They were that you saw it in the postseason against the Chargers. You could feel it. They weren't destroying teams the way they were earlier that season. Earlier that season, they were beating teams by 20, 30 points. That's why they were favored by as many. And you could see it at the end of the year, the Giant game, the Jet game I talked about, the Raven game I talked about, that they were human. And it was slowly coming back to where they were beatable. And that's why, ultimately, I thought the Giants were going to beat them that night. I was right. It was my first, like, really right prediction.
What a night. What a night.
So, how old were you back then? Like 12?
No. Doofus.
How old were you?
I don't know.
We were in college, Sean.
I was about to be 21.
What were you going to say now, Lugie?
I said we were in college, and you're a bad person, Evan, because what you did there is you minimized the greatest victory in the history of the Super Bowl. That's right, better than the Jets winning with the guarantee. You minimized
it. I didn't minimize it.
Sure
did.
I don't think he minimized it.
Oh, no, he sure did. He took an undefeated team, and then he said they were human by the time the Giants played.
Because I think if anybody picked the Giants to win, I kind of had a similar feeling. You could see the Patriots running out of steam.
It's not a knock on the Giants at all. I think the Giants Super Bowl run, I'd argue this with anybody, was the greatest Super Bowl run in the history of football. Like, I would put that, I'd put that championship run against any championship run in the history of sports.
2011 is a better Super Bowl run.
No, I disagree.
9-win team.
Doesn't matter.
Beat the 15-1 Packers in the
first
second
of all, the
round.
Giants were a 10-win team in 2007. Let's stop acting.
No. They were left for dead at 7-7 and had no room for error.
I know what happened in 2011. Victor Cruz is still running, as Beningo would say.
But that actually is a more impressive run. And the only quarterback in NFL history to win a Super Bowl with the league's worst rushing attack and a bottom 10 defense.
Yeah, but you didn't cap it off by beating the greatest football team ever assembled.
Oh, well, yeah, in the
That's
second
a huge
round,
difference.
You beat maybe the second
the 15-1 Packers?
Yeah.
Who were completely distracted that week because of a tragedy around, I think it was Joe Philbin's son.
No.
Yeah, let's ignore that. And by the way, the Packers turned out to be big-time choke artists anyway.
Yeah.
So why is that impressive?
I forgot.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oops. Oh.
Is that a point you're trying to prove?
I forgot. Yeah, that's right. He doesn't win big games.
Do you think I give a rat's ass as a Jet fan about Aaron Rodgers losing a playoff game in January of 2012?
You should. You shouldn't want to be wasting this year.
I'm not wanting to waste this
year,
but he's
on. Imagine the Jets with a good rookie quarterback the next window.
Well, that's ridiculous. You're all over the place. Let's stay with what you just said.
Uh-huh.
Do you think I care about Rodgers' brutal playoff losses? If anything, it makes him stronger. It makes it that much sweeter when he gets to his first Super Bowl in a decade and a half. That doesn't put fear in me.
Okay.
That doesn't work. Like, bringing up Rodgers' postseason failures is not going to sting me. That's like me bringing up Juan Soto struggling with the Padres in the NLCS. Would you give a rat's ass about that?
We're going to rise again.
Thank you, Aaron. Of course you wouldn't. What a stupid point.
Can you go away on vacation?
Lugie, I need a vacation from already.
You told me yesterday you missed me.
I did miss you, but you push too hard sometimes.
All I know is 72 hours ago, I was on Broadway in Nashville, and now here I am. I'm smelling Evan's armpits, and I got to hear, you know, Sean's incoherent takes all over the place.
Speaking of Lugie, he put down an order, which I was stunned by. He told people that went with him to Nashville, they're not allowed to talk about what happened at Nashville until he's around. Which I thought means something huge happened in Nashville.
Which so we'll wax Will Levis's anus?
So we'll find out what Lugie did in Nashville. Plus, why the New York Mets are facing the mathematical equation that will keep them out of the playoffs. So we got a baseball game coming up in about, let's say, an hour. The Yankees are taking on the Washington Nationals. The Yankees starting lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Yankees Nationals, game two of a three-game series. Gerrit Cole on the mound. For whatever reason, when I think of Gerrit Cole and the Nationals, I think of the pandemic opener back in 2020. His New York Yankee debut, his highly anticipated Yankee debut, was in front of nobody in the late July of 2020. And the game was rain-shortened. Does anybody remember this?
Didn't Susan sing the national anthem?
In Washington?
Oh, no, never mind.
No, this game was at Nationals Park. It was the return to baseball after or during the pandemic. Yankees played the Nationals. It was the only game on.
You're right. I do remember.
And it was a rain-shortened game, and that was Gerrit Cole's Yankee debut. Here's the lineup. Tell me if you have any issues. You ready? They're facing Patrick Corbin, yet another left-hander. It's the third straight lefty the Yankees are facing. Gleyber Torres leading off at second base.
Let's go.
Juan Soto batting second in right field. Aaron Judge, good to go, in center field, batting third. Giancarlo Stanton, cleaning up at DH. Jazz Chisholm, batting fifth at third base.
A juicy lineup.
Anthony Volpe at shortstop, batting sixth.
All right.
Jose Trevino.
What are we doing?
Behind the plate, batting seventh.
What are we doing?
Alex Verdugo in left. DJ LeMahieu bats ninth.
I mean, you want to talk about going from just an absolutely beautiful top six to out, out, and more outs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th spots. What can we get Anthony Rizzo back here and just play Austin Wells six times a week?
Yeah, so here would be my question about the Austin Wells situation. Austin Wells has actually gotten himself in the American League Rookie of the Year race. He's probably not going to win it. Colton Cowser, the Orioles, yeah, probably does. But Austin Wells is now in the discussion, to say to borrow a phrase from Loogie. He's in the discussion. He may not win it, but we're talking about him. If you don't want to catch him today because you want to match up Trevino and Gerrit Cole and you want to get Austin Wells off his feet, why not play him at first base at this point? Especially when your first base option isn't the greatest.
I don't even have a problem with that. If you don't want to play him at first base, my issue is we were lied to above anything else.
In what aspect?
We were lied to because when Trevino was coming back, Aaron Boone said, no, Austin Wells is still going to play the majority of games. And then it became, it's a platoon. Well, look who it happens to be. How many lefties are pitching here and figuring
they
that
are
out.
Facing four straight lefties. Look, they're facing another lefty tomorrow in Mackenzie Gore.
Come on. I think if we learned anything, and if Aaron Boone truly has his finger on the pulse of the Yankee team, and I like to think he does, it's that Austin Wells is not a productive catcher if he has to platoon at all.
Well, I think what we're noticing, because I want to be fair about this, it's not a platoon. I think in a three-game series, Wells is playing two out of three games.
But that's what we're looking at. But you got to think of it over a week span, not a three-game series. Trevino can't be playing more than, I'm sorry, once pick your day game after a night game. All right, if you want to match up Cole, it's, you know, I can't be looking up at three times a week Trevino is playing.
So I agree with you. I would not have it be two out of three. I'd have it five out of six.
Right.
But I've now gotten to the point where if you believe in Trevino's defense, and I'm not talking about throwing guys out at second. We saw Austin Wells do a great job of that last night on that pickoff play that somehow the umpire missed. How that needed to be reviewed is beyond me.
Unreal.
Then find a way to keep Wells' bat in the lineup. One way to do it is by playing him at first base. Right now you're playing DJ LeMahieu and Ben Rice at first base. Even when Anthony Rizzo comes back, who knows what you're getting out of him. And you could even DH him every once in a while.
I hate to say this because it's true. The way Jazz Chisholm is playing third base right now, and it is a roller coaster, and it's even when it's ugly, it looks pretty. I got to have somebody who knows how to play first base stretching out for these balls.
Now let me get to the Mets real quick. And I want to explain why the math is the problem. So the New York Mets have been okay recently. That'd be the way I'd phrase it. They've been fine. They got a split in San Diego. You could save me all the positivity, Tommy. I get it. The Padres were a good team. They got a split. Yippity-doo-dah. The Mets have basically been a 500 team for a month and a half. They've kind of been in that range.
Yeah.
It's not good enough. And the main reason it's not good enough is because the Diamondbacks and the Padres have separated to the point where the Mets are almost buried from catching them. The other problem is the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves do not lose in September. The Atlanta Braves do not wilt when guys get hurt. The Atlanta Braves last year had such a great close to the season. Remember 2022? How about last year? They were 37-20 in the final 2 months of the year. That's who they are. That's what the Braves do. And you could cite all the injuries you want. They pitch. They have a hell of a rotation. I sat there last night. I plopped on the Brave game. I got Jed all excited about, we got to root against the Braves. We got to root against the Braves. My ass isn't comfortable in the seat. And they're beating the Twins 9-1.
And then just in time for a tornado delay.
Yeah, which was like, give me a break. But I didn't even care. Game was over. The Braves are winning at a pace that is concerning. So I did some math earlier today. I analyzed their entire schedule over the next few weeks. They play Minnesota, Philadelphia, Colorado, Toronto, Cincinnati, Washington, the Dodgers, the Reds, and the Marlins. Don't worry, I analyzed it. They're about to play 25 games before they play the Mets in the second to last series of the season. And I was being conservative when I did this. They're about to go 16-9. And I'm being conservative.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find ways they're going to lose some games. They're going to go 16-9, which means the Mets, just to be three games out, which is not ideal, going into that Atlanta series, they got to go 16-9. If they want to gain ground, they got to go 18-7 to be a game out. They're about to play three games against the Diamondback team that never loses. And by the way, the rest of their schedule, does it soften off a little bit? Sure, they play the White Sox. Soft. They play the Red Sox. I wouldn't call the Red Sox soft. They play the Reds. They play the Blue Jays. Softish. Then they have seven games with the Philadelphia Phillies next month. I'm not burying the Mets because I think they suck. I'm not burying them because I think they're choke artists. I'm telling you that the math doesn't add up. They need to win 90 games to make the playoffs. I told you this 2 weeks ago, and I feel even stronger about it now. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. I even need to amend. Just yesterday, I said, you know you're not winning the series versus the Diamondbacks, so go 4-2. They need to go 5-1.
I agree, by the way. Just based on the math.
Newsflash, you say Arizona doesn't lose. San Diego just for the split. The sixth wild card might end up being, if Atlanta really takes off, San Diego in this spot, too.
But it doesn't even matter. The point is, they gonna have to win 90 games.
They got, look at it this way. They gave back enough with that 5-0 lead versus Oakland. They gave back enough not scoring versus Seattle and having to fire the manager basically a couple days later. They lost to enough, quote-unquote, inferior peer opponents. They need to start winning some games and some series unexpectedly, which would start here with Arizona.
Well, look, at the beginning of this season,
to make up for that.
At the beginning of this season, we all made predictions. Okay? I thought the Mets were an 86-win team. So I'm not surprised where they are record-wise. I'm surprised how they got here. I don't think there's any question about that. Vientos having a superstar year, all that. 86, I thought, would be enough. Unless I'm completely wrong about the Atlanta Braves, and I don't think I am. I hope I am. Don't think I am. Unless the Padres completely wilt, which could happen, but I don't think they will.
Right.
The number needs to be 90,
right.
And for the Mets to get to 90, they're going to have to win an awful lot of games, and it starts tonight against the Diamondbacks. Positive Tommy, make me happy.
There's only one, or there's only a few things that positive Tommy shares in common with negative Tommy, is that we hate math. Math stinks. I was never good at it in high school. I don't worry about math. I don't worry about the future. I don't worry about signing for things. I worry about the here and now. We start with one game and we go from there. You drive yourself crazy if you sit there and go, if they win this game, if they win that game. You don't know what the mindset of is going to be of these teams late in the year. All I know is the one series I will look ahead at, the only one, is Atlanta.
They got to get to that series with it mattering. I'm concerned it won't matter.
I think they will.
They could be five games out or more going into that three-game series.
But what are you basing that on,
though? The Braves. I'm basing it on the Braves. I'm basing it on the fact that the Mets have been 500 for a month and a half. That's not good enough. They cannot afford to give games away like they did Sunday. And I don't want to hear that they split against the Padres. The Braves aren't losing. And I got a spoiler alert for everybody out there. Oh, the Twins, they're a playoff team. I wipe my ass with that. The Minnesota Twins are frauds. They're frauds against the Yankees. They were frauds against the Mets. They're going to be frauds against Atlanta. The Twins are helping nobody. Nobody. And you can mark my words, the Phillies ain't doing much help either. The Braves are about to go win 92 games. That's the problem, Tom.
They're not going to win
92. Tom.
God. Even my wife calls me Thomas, not Tom. I think I would say this, Evan. I will throw a question back to you.
Yes.
Has there been one team in baseball this year that has been consistent? Would you agree? No one's going to win 100 games. Everybody's been up and down. You want to tell me everybody's kind of on the same platform? The Dodgers, the Phillies, the Yankees, the Orioles.
Well, what does that prove? The Braves are now getting they're hitting their hot streak.
Okay,
they struggled for a while. Now they're playing well.
But they can hit a cold streak again.
Do you think they are?
Yes, I do.
Tommy. Forget positivity about the Mets.
No.
You've watched the Braves your entire life.
They can't sustain it with this lineup,
bro,
Evan.
They're pitching.
No,
loaded.
Don't give me their whole life.
Can I?
Chipper Jones is not walking through the door.
No, you can't
give me that they're the Braves. No. We got to bend the knee to them because of their success over the years.
Forget that. How about this Brave team? How about Max Fried?
They have great pitching.
They do. You gave that to me.
They have great
pitching. They've got great pitching. Gee golly.
That lineup, it's going to be very difficult to sustain this clip for a month and a half.
Not really. Not when you pitch.
Not really?
Not when you have a closer that doesn't give up a run.
What if they run into other good pitching?
Stop.
And they lose 2-1 here, 1-0 there. Yeah, I'm just saying.
They're going to run into good pitching. They're going to run into good pitching when they face the Rockies and they face the Blue Jays and the Reds. Stop it.
The Mets are, you're right, after, and I'm not even going to count Arizona. They do have an easier schedule, but again, I'm not going to look ahead because you just don't know where teams are going to be at when you face them. All I'm saying is this. You can't sit there and say, oh, the math doesn't work out because it's sports, Evan. It's just impossible to say something like that.
It's more that the Braves are the Braves, and we made a mistake a week ago. When Austin Riley went down with that injury, there was this, it's right there for the taking. It doesn't freaking matter with this team. They've been out without Ronald Acuna Jr. all season long.
So then you know what? Fine. I'll give you the Braves then. You know who the Padres are? The Padres.
Oh, okay.
And they haven't won squat and don't deserve anybody's respect. I'm sorry, they don't. They have proven nothing if you want to go that route.
I didn't think this was possible in America, but in the summer of 2024, nobody has run a worse campaign than Positive Tommy.
That's actually inaccurate. I'm doing very well in Long Island. They can't catch me in Poughkeepsie. I mean, it's a runaway. No, seriously, I've done a great job where people are believing in the positivity. And I see it all the time. Evan sees it all the time when negative, what it's his name, emails to Rico Bronya. The fans, I believe, and Evan, you could tell me if I'm wrong here, and Sean, you too.
What?
I think Met fans want the season to end in August because they don't want to deal with the heartache in October.
No, we don't want
then it. Why does the season end every other day then?
I'm not saying the season's over today. I'm telling you why my confidence in them getting to October is very low. They're three games out, and if things don't go well tonight, they may be four games out, and I'm worried. It's hanging by a thread. That's why I said to you recently, get me to the Atlanta series a game out. I've amended that. Get me to the Atlanta series two games
out. I'll end this. Hopefully you guys did not make plans in October to go on vacation because the Mets will be playing baseball.
We didn't make plans because it's football season.
Okay. We'll take a very quick break, I promise. Rosie promised me, says it's going to be like the quickest break ever. We will come back, we'll get to some of your phone calls, and we'll get you all lubed up and excited and ready to go for New York Yankee baseball. The Yankees are taking on the Nationals, and the Mets are playing an enormous game. Everything we just talked about, they have to win. I mean, these are playoff games, and I'm with you. Two out of three against the Diamondbacks. Not a prediction, it's a knee. I'm laughing because I put a question out on social media last night, and the responses, I just cannot stop reading. It caused a lot of anger, a lot of excitement, but mostly anger. And all I did was ask a question.
Okay.
Do you know what the question was that I asked? Very simple one. I asked the people, and I'm doing this in the last 6 minutes of the show, because God knows we're not taking calls on this.
Oh, boy.
I asked the question, what would you rather have happen in 2024? Your favorite team win their championship, or your presidential candidate win the election? And the responses were just, first of all, people tried to read me based on the poll. Like, Evan Musper, it has nothing to do with my own politics, which I can promise you are all over the place. But we received a lot of votes, a lot of passionate opinions, and I am here just to tell you the results. I mean, just to tell you the results.
Oh, boy.
You
want to
guess
the poll?
I'm not saying I trust it. I mean, I polled people that follow me on social media. But again, the question was, what would you rather have happen in 2024? Your favorite team win a championship, so the Mets win the World Series, Yankees win the World Series. I would include the other teams, even if it's after said election. Or your preferred presidential candidate wins the election.
All right, the real answer would be 90-10 sports.
Really?
I think the real,
what do you mean the real answer?
If you really, really, really had to ask anybody 12 months out of the year, any given year, they will tell, of course I want my, I don't care, but you're getting people hot and bothered, right? Not you, about the election right now.
No, I was getting them hot and bothered.
That right now people think that's the only thing that matters, when in reality, if and when their candidate loses, they'd be the first, of course I'd rather have the Jets win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to say it was closer to 50-50, but the real answer is truly 90-10.
Interesting. What do you say, you?
The election won in a landslide.
You think the election won in a landslide?
Yep.
So Sean was right. It was a very, very close poll. All right.
Okay.
53% to 47%, which I think is a close result.
Yeah.
53 said their preferred team winning a championship.
All right.
47% went with the presidential candidate winning the election. But if you want to be entertained, go check out the mentions. I mean, it is just, it's everything you expected.
We didn't get one from the real Joe Beningo on there, did we?
No, I've talked to Joe. I already know his answer. Do you want me to give you his answer? That's private.
I'll talk to him in private.
No, I think he's already said on the air what his answer would be. Anyhow, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY. Yeah, I had fun with that one. I knew when I put it out there, people just get so, they're like, way angry at me. All I did was put a poll out. What the hell did I do?
You can't handle the truth.
I didn't even tell you what my answer would be. I just thought it was fun.
Well, what would your answer
be? And I purposely did it. What would my answer be? It's a very long-winded answer.
It better be sports team, because you've never seen your sports team win. You've had presidential candidates in your life that you voted for, rooted for, win. So it's got to be sports team.
Oh, I've had my presidential candidates win. I've had them lose. I'm a winner and a loser.
Right. You're a loser with sports.
Yes. I feel like when I give my answer, and we only have a few minutes left in the show.
And you're off for the next couple of days.
And I'm off for the next few days. It'll garner a lot of DMs and emails that I really don't want to deal with. So I put the poll out there. We get the results. Everybody yells at each other. I don't have to tell you my opinion.
Well, that means it's the election.
Is it?
Yes, because you're not getting DMs if you pick the Jets to win the Super Bowl.
You're 1,000% wrong, by the way.
Really?
You read the room very incorrectly.
Shocker.
I believe I would get more responses out of anger by picking a sports team.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
No way.
Absolutely.
No way. Not on WFAN.
I disagree. If I said, I mean, I can give you my honest answer if you really care, and then who cares what kind of emails I get.
They'll even meet Lou Gowen Boyle to collect the dust tomorrow, so.
For a myriad of reasons, for many, many reasons that are particular, I would prefer my, I prefer my sports team. I think that would be my answer, but I do think that that would garner a lot of you, the country's going to go away. What the hell's wrong with you? So that's why.
All right, fair enough.
But I mean, 53% to 47%, very close election.
Very close. But again, ask them not with an election upcoming month.
Well, I also think I should have done this like every 4 years since I had Twitter. Like if I did this in 2012, would have I gotten the same answer?
No, I think every 4 years it gets more and more. Social media gets more driven. And
that's what I'm saying.
Political.
It's like become sports in a lot of
ways. If I asked this before an Obama-Romney election, it's probably like 80-20 my sports team.
Yeah.
Maybe 90-10. So I wish I had done that over the years, but they didn't add polls until like the last couple of years.
Look.
I love polls on Twitter. They like excite me. I have a good time with that.
By the way, Evan.
Yeah, I may do some on vacation.
I'm going to try to segue slightly because you've teased it all day. Let me just say this. I went to Nashville, Tennessee over the weekend. And I just like to say, if you've never been before, it is heaven on earth. And thankfully, the walls can't talk. And the reason I put the gag on her on Paul is
because yesterday we said on the air that Paul Rosenberg said to us, I can't talk about going to Nashville until Loogie's back.
Yeah, because I don't want
to. There's some big secret that you're going to reveal.
No big secrets, but I want to be here when we talked about it. That's all because I don't want to be spoken for.
And how much did we talk about it today?
We didn't talk about it at all because we had to talk about your armpits, you wiping your tuchus, and who you're voting for.
I didn't say who I was voting
for. Well, clearly, you know, you indicated, I'm sure. Email the Rico B Gmail to yell at Evan.
Trust me, I haven't indicated anything. What about Nashville would you have even wanted to talk about? That you got drunk? That you were checking out women inappropriately because you're married? Like, what would we be talking
about?
As
our dear friend Joe Beningo would say, I don't want to get into it, and I'll leave it at that.
I would say that when Joe's on Saturday, you should totally ask him the poll question. He'll give you an answer. He don't mess around. I love about that man. He'll just tell you.
Enjoy your time off, Ev.
I'm going to enjoy my time off. Sean will be here. I think Lugie will be here, but I'm not positive. And we'll all be back together again Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Very much look forward to it. If you're a Met fan, live Rico's tonight and tomorrow following Mets Diamondbacks on YouTube and then download it wherever you download podcasts. Yankee baseball's coming up next. Enjoy it. Goodbye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.